that even though we sort of feel like when we read the Bible that Israel was the only nation that God cared about, it is not so. Because in the final dispensation, the dispensation of the gospel, we see that God makes a proclamation to the entire human race. And we see that his heart has always been for every single person on earth. That he actually chose Israel to be that vehicle of his glory so that people will see, wow, look at Israel. Look at how blessed they are. We see that they serve the one true God. So the current dispensation, salvation through Jesus. And this is so important. God requires an individual response from every single person. You know, one thing that we must really be careful about in today's society, and especially in South Africa, is when someone says to you, I've been a Christian my entire life. My friend, how can you be a Christian your entire life? There has to be a moment in your life where you have come to a place and you had to say to yourself, look, I know that I am a sinner and I need salvation. I need Jesus. It happened to me in 2004. I can't remember whether it's March or April, but it is definitely the year 2004. I was in church my entire life. I went to the Dutch Reformed Church. I thought I was a Christian, but my life was completely showing something else. So he requires an individual response from every person. Now, what I want to point out tonight is that in the three dispensations that we've had with the patriarchs, with Israel, with the law, and now with the gospel, there is one requirement that has stayed the same. One thing that God has said, this thing does not change. Yes, there's lots of rituals that might have changed. There's other things that might have changed, but this one thing stays the same. And that one requirement is simply to hear God's voice. One thing that always showed those who belong to God, from Adam, Abram, Israel, Jesus to us today, is do you hear his voice? It is so important that we look each other in the eye and we say, we cannot play church. I think we're all done with playing church. We're all sick and tired of playing church. We're all at a place where we just want to go and shake other people and say, do you know Jesus? I mean, you guys know at my place of work, I just want to run up to people and say, look, do you know Jesus? I'm going insane because you're not knowing Jesus. And it hasn't worked. I've tried it several times. It did not work. So I have given up on trying in my own strength. I've given up in trying to do my own thing and to apply my own sense of being religious. So what I'm now do, and this is the only thing I focus on, is his voice. I don't know what else to do. I just quickly want to give you guys some examples. In Exodus 15, 24 to 26, so this is now with Israel. As they came out of Egypt, we see in verse 24, and the people complained against Moses. What shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. If you heed the voice of the Lord. There's a simple requirement here. If you heed the voice of the Lord. The Hebrew for the voice part there is listening. How do you do that? How do you listening? It's almost like you're listening, but now you need to listen. You're listening. I'm in a state of listening, but then I listen. for those of you who are married, you've experienced this several times, especially for the husbands. But we all experience it. How many times have you spoken to someone and then they say to you, are you listening to me? I mean, are you actually concentrating on what I'm saying here? So how many times do we catch ourselves just looking at each other and then this guy's not listening to me? I mean, are you even concentrating on what I'm saying? Listening. And then Israel came to the foot of Mount Sinai, and the Lord spoke to Moses. So Exodus 19, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. And verse 5, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And what is the primary requirement for Israel if they want to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation? It is simply, if you will indeed obey my voice. So if you look at Israel, God brought them out to have relationship with himself. Then he said to them, obey my voice. Then he said to them, keep my covenant. And if you do these things, I will make you a kingdom of priests. And you know what? God says that to every single one of us today. So if I think about how I got saved and how I stopped living a carnal way, just in sin and living just with my flesh and my fears and trying to achieve every single time, every day, just trying to achieve something that's of worth. And now I look back and I realize, like, God has saved me just to have a relationship with him. But I've been in church now for 14 years, and I can't tell you how many times I had to go back in circles. Almost every single year, if I reflect on the year, God tells me, Juan, have a relationship with me. Have a relationship with me. Have a relationship with me. You're focusing on too much other stuff. Just have a relationship with me. In Deuteronomy 28, these words are spoken by Moses to remind them of God's most important requirement just before they entered the promised land. So Moses said to them again, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. See how this verse, Moses starts with obey the voice of the Lord, and he ends with obey the voice of the Lord. He's realized that there is one thing that you can do. You can look pretty, you can run around and dance around, and you can do whatever you want. But if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, there is no hope. It's summed up to me in Jeremiah 7. So here we have, God is just, he is at a place where he is just, Israel, how am I going to deal with you guys? And he sends the prophet Jeremiah, and he says to them in verse 2, Jeremiah 7, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, obey my voice and I will be your God. It's so significant for me, this first part where it talks about offerings and sacrifice. I did not speak to your fathers who command them in the day and brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifice. How often do we as Christians, we come to a place where it's just about sacrifice? Who's been in that place? You're like, sacrifice, sacrifice, Sunday after Sunday. And the Lord is just like, I don't want your sacrifice. I want you. I want you to get to a place where you hear my voice. The focus was never the burnt offerings. But why is the burnt offering so important to us? It's because we can see it, right? It's because I can show Reino, yay, check my burnt offering. It's nice, eh? Spend a lot of time on it. It's so true still today. Jeremiah 7:24. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. So Israel did not listen. And in my life, I've gone through this so many times where I did not listen. And I must say, I've gone full circle this year where I've been overzealous, I've been underzealous, I've had a seriously tough week this week. I mean, Yaku knows. I just had a seriously hectic week. And there's only one thing that's going to save me right now. And that's a word from the Lord. It is something that's going to sustain me. So now we're going to go to the new dispensation, the dispensation that we are currently in, John 10. And here we have Jesus speaking. Nothing has changed. It's still about his voice. Jesus explains it in John 10, verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Then nothing has changed with the teaching of Jesus. It's all about his voice. That's what it's about. Hear his voice, recognize it, and follow it. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We have to get to a place where we fix our hearts so much on Jesus that nothing else opens it. I used the example the other night about someone who does Braille, a person who can't see will read Braille basically by just touching little dots. And what he has to do is I don't know how long it takes. Does anyone know how long it takes to learn how to read Braille? 4 to 6 years. So over that period of time, you have to get your fingers sensitive to those dots on the page. And to me, it's such a good example of how we have to get to a place of where we are listening. We are constantly in a place of sensitivity towards the voice of the Lord. Constantly, day by day, just this is the thing that's guiding me. Now, Jesus was talking about Israel here. In verse 16 of John 10, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. How amazing is that? So Jesus is talking about us. It's not only for Israel, it's for the whole world. So I was thinking about this. What is the thing that's going to be similar with the original flock and with the new flock? It's his voice. So if you think about Christian unity, we've got so many churches who believe so many different things. I believe there's only one thing that's going to truly bring unity amongst all the different churches, and that's hearing his voice. We were at a baby baptism service the other day of friends of ours, and I'm not going to mention the church's name or who it was, but I almost started crying. I was so grieved during the service And I realized just again that we must really start interceding for Christian unity. There's no point in me going to the pastor and saying, "What are you doing? Can you show me this in Scripture?" We must rather go to the pastor and I don't know, build relationship and get to a point where we can pray together and search God's heart together, search His voice together. No organization, doesn't matter how good we organize church, how brilliantly we strategize with shofar all across the world, it's not going to be in Christian unity. There's only one thing that's going to be in Christian unity, and that's hearing the voice of the Lord. In John 10:27, Jesus sums it up. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There's three things that mark our true followers of Jesus. They hear the voice, He knows them, and they follow Him. So my biggest challenge in my life now, right, is just how do we settle down? How do we as Christians in 2018 get to a place where we just slow down a bit? Where we just, I don't know, I feel like, you know, every single weekend we have free, you're going camping or you're going this or you're going that, and I'm extremely convicted by the fact that my Nita and I, we're just looking for that next break. We're just looking for that next time where we can go away for a weekend. And I'm saying more and more, we're saying to each other, maybe we should just go and just make sure that we can listen, that we can get to a place of listening to the Lord. So what I want to point out here is, it's very important for us to notice that no denominational labels have got nothing to do with followers of Christ. I was in the Dutch Reformed Church, the NG Kerk. There are lots of Christians, followers of Christ, in the Dutch Reformed Church. I have a colleague at work, he's a Roman Catholic. She is madly in love with Jesus. I have no doubt that Jesus knows her and that she knows the Lord. No doubt. So we have to get to a place, and I know we as shofar, we're really pushing towards it. We have to get to a place where we say to each other, look, it's not about that badge or that orange color. It's about hearing the voice of the Lord. It's not about these black chairs or this building. It's not about the way we greet each other, the way we worship. It's about one thing and one thing alone. It's hearing His voice. It's not a brand. Let's not promote a brand. You know, if I go to that Dominee and I can give him a word from the Lord that will be so accurate in his life that he cannot deny me, or that he cannot deny Christ. I mean, who cares about me? Then, in love, maybe then we can get to a place where we can cross the boundaries and actually look at each other and we can get all these churches together. I think with the bigger, better together thing that we are doing, we're really moving in the right direction. So now I want to quickly touch on, and then we're finished. There's three features of hearing God's voice. The first one, it's personal. Voices are unique to an individual. Jesus' voice is unique. My voice is unique. If you program my voice into something that'll open only open my voice, it's only me that's going to open it. Doesn't matter how much Reyna is going to try and sound like me, or Yaku's going to try and sound like me, it's not going to open it. It is unique. Guys, we have to see our hearts like a safe, and that safe is only going to open with the voice of Jesus. It is a personal, personal, personal thing. We have to get to the place where we hear the voice of the Lord, and then we record it. And then we say, right, now for the next hour, I don't want anything in my mind. I just want to keep this experience right now. I want to memorize this. And then the next day you test it, and then you test it, and then you test it. It's personal. The second one, it's intangible. It can't be touched. It's not restricted to a building or a type of music. This is something that I really had to grow through because I loved punk music when I was young. So the moment I got into Shofar, there was a band. I was like, yeah, there's a drummer on stage. Cool, there's an electric guitar. Immediately, I was like, this is my church. People are a bit weird putting their hands up, but I like the music. So when I gave my heart to Jesus, then the music almost became an idol in my life. Man, I would run to church. I would literally, on a Sunday, run to church because I didn't want to miss the first song. Because the first song was always the fast song. And then everyone's going crazy in front. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Stellenbosch in the evenings. It's still like that. And then I got to Shofar Franschhoek. And with the first song, everyone's just standing there. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? It's the fast song. We now have to go for it. Let's press in. And I judged those people so much. And then I got to Paul, and I'm like, it's even worse at Paul. I'm joking. No, but the point I'm trying to make is, it's not about a type of music. And I've learned that now. And that's why God moved me to another church. Because you can't stay in Stellenbosch your whole life. It's not about a type of music. It's not about a type of building. We can't walk in here and say, now we're experiencing the Lord. Right, this is the Shofar building. Yes, boys. No, it can't be touched. We can't apprehend it or feel it. It is a sense the only way I can hear Reino is by with my ears. I cannot touch his voice. I don't know, maybe if he shouts really loud, but I don't think so. I cannot touch his voice. I can only sense it with my ears. Most religious associations relates us to something tangible. If you think about it, a building, a church, furniture, pulpit, sitting, dancing, etc., etc. And we have to move away from that. So my background is Ingekerk, Dutch Reformed. So in my mind, I'm like, no, those people have no idea what God's about. And that's not true. I have to repent about that. You know, sometimes when my parents go to the Dutch Reformed Church and I see my dad sitting in those pews, there's sometimes tears running out of his eyes. And then I realize I have no idea what he's experiencing right now. And who am I to judge him on the way he worships? You know, lately, being in the valley, I've asked myself this question so many times. What was different with Andrew Murray? 1828 to 1917, there was a man who lived in Wellington who turned the world upside down. And what was different? It frustrates me incredibly. But I believe that we are getting back to a place. And if you were here in the morning service or just hear about what happened in the morning service, I really believe that God is stirring a hunger for his voice within our church. And not just in our church, but in churches all over South Africa. I believe that God honors that hunger for his voice. There's a lady coming on the 23rd and 24th of November. Her name is Suzette Hatting. Now, for those of you who don't know who Suzette Hatting is, she was the intercessor for Reinhard Bonke for about 12 years, I think. Now, Reinhard Bonke is one of the greatest evangelists who's ever lived. And she interceded for him before. She went in a week before and they'd pray, and then an hour before the crusade that she'd pray. And she is now traveling the world just hearing where she asks the Lord, Lord, where must I go next? Where must I go next? Where must I go next? And she's coming to Wellington on the 23rd and 24th of November. To me, that's very significant because I know there are a lot of people in Wellington who are really earnestly seeking God. Who are really, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. Who can quote that scripture? I know the plans that I have for you, yeah. Plans to prosper, give you a future and hope. But what does verse 13 say? That's what God is telling me, not 11. We always focus on 11. But there's a prerequisite to verse 11. It's verse 13. Can you guys quickly go on your Bibles, app or something? Can someone quickly read verse 13? Jeremiah 29:13. Who's the quickest on the Bible apps? Yaku. Jeremiah 29:13. Here we go. When you seek me with all your heart. I've just realized in my own life, I can't stop at verse 11. You have to go on to verse 13. When you seek me with all your heart. There's a huge prerequisite there. The third one, the third feature of hearing God's voice is that it's present. It is now. It is not in the past. It is not in the future. A voice has no past. I cannot hear right now in the past. God is speaking to us now, today. That's where he says, you will not live. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word spoken to you. Every day we must realize there's this, the manna of God is there for us. He wants to feed you. He wants to nourish your spirit. He wants to give you that word that's going to make you come alive, that's going to talk into your circumstances. And then he wants to take it one step further. He wants you to go give a word to someone else. The other day I was in the parking lot here, and an older guy came to me and he said, he gave to me a word, and it was spot on. I just started crying because I was going through a rough time. But I just said to him, I just thank you so much for your obedience. And we must encourage that. And even if we give each other the wrong word, we must say, look, I'm sorry. Maybe it's for later, but maybe I completely missed it. The thing that happens is when someone shares a word with you, is that it creates incredible faith within you. We were in China with Pastor Sias, and the one day he said to us, look guys, all we're going to do today is pray. This is what we're doing, we're praying. So the whole day we just sat there praying. Now I was quite intimidated going on a mission with Sias, and Yankor was there, I was still young. But the whole day I just had Joel 2 in my head. Joel 2, the whole day. And I didn't even know what Joel 2 says. I actually went there. I'm like, oh, no, it doesn't really. I just left it. Right at the end of the day, Sias went to Joel 2 and read that entire script, that entire chapter, and just prayed through that entire thing. The next morning, the intercession team from South Africa sent us an email and said they feel Joel 2 for China right now. Pray it. What I want to share is it built such faith within my heart that I knew I heard the Lord and I knew I heard right. And that's why I want to encourage you guys. We must go to intercession, maybe once every third week. It's at intercession where we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. I feel like I need to pray something. Boom, Sam prays it. I heard right. Then we add on to it. We pray it through. We must do it in our cell groups as well when we get together. And as a cell, we pray for each other. I get a word for Reino. Boom, you get the same word. Yes, I heard the voice of the Lord. It's present. It's today. So many times we hear people say, yes, in the times of Noah, this and this and this and this. No, guys. Let's press into what God is saying to us now. And I know it. He speaks to us every single day. The other day, Ella was here. Ella's not here tonight. So Ella says to me, Juan, the Lord said to me before the sermon, they're going to sing when the music fades. You know that, when the music fades. Marnai was leading worship. in the middle of worship, she stops and she starts to sing when the music fades. Rika couldn't play with because they didn't have the chords with her. I turned to Ella, I'm like, what? She heard exactly, I don't know, she's coached herself to hear. And Marnay obviously also heard the same thing. And if you hear about what happened this morning, I actually want Nita to come out and just share about what happened this morning. But this morning, people from 7 o'clock in the morning, Andre posted something on the intercession group, and then it just went. Every single person who walked in here during intercession, during the band, during this Nita's preparation, everything was just confirmed. People, we are going into a season where we have to keep at listening. It's all we got to focus on in our lives. So I want to challenge you tonight is, what is the distraction in your life? What is that thing that you've got to say to the Lord? Lord, I've got to put this thing away because it's distracting me from your voice. It's very simple. If I talk to Reino, I can't look at my phone. If I talk to Reino, I can't listen to music. If I talk to him, I got to look him in the eyes. I got to spend time with him. So if we will, that's all I want to share tonight. If we can quickly stand. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are life and love and peace. Thank you, Lord, that you've got specific words for people here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you want to encourage them, encourage me. Thank you, Lord, that you just want to say to us that you love us so much, Father. But not just us, you love every single person on this planet so much. And Father, I pray that you will really, Holy Spirit, give us a desire, Lord, to live Jeremiah 29:13, Lord. To really, Lord, press in and to seek you diligently, Lord. To spend time with you. To set apart our quiet times, Lord. And to make that the most important thing in our life, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't say to Andrew Murray, you're special. I thank you, God, that every single one of us is special. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a desire being birthed all across the world, Father God. A desire that is so strong. An army that you are raising up, Father God, that's going to shake the gates of hell. And I thank you, Lord, I just want to repent on behalf of the church that we've neglected your word so much, Lord. Father, that we live in a town that is so divided. A community that is so divided, Father. We just repent of that in Jesus' name, Lord. And God, as we go out here tonight, Father, and every single one of us, Lord, I'm not sure what everyone heard tonight, Father, but Lord, thank you that we can obey your voice. Thank you that we can hear it and we can obey it, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that there's such strong callings in this church tonight, Father. People that you've called to great things. And Father, I just pray the blood of Jesus over those callings, Lord. I declare that they will come to pass. I just declare that they will testify of God's grace and God's goodness and God's power in their lives. Lord, our desires, Father, that, Lord, we just repent of having a form of godliness but denying its power, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, as a church, we are moving away from that. We repent of that, Father, and we leave it behind. But we will not run after miracles, Father. We are only going to run after your voice, Lord. In Jesus' name.